like to try to do this morning is the Parshas Kedoshim is full of mitzvot. I think there are more mitzvot than Sukkim. The entire Parsha is 64 Sukkim. I think, according to some counts, there are over 70 mitzvot in this week's Parsha. So being that there are so many, I'd like to zero in on one pasuk, and a pasuk that we are very familiar with, and just to try and sometimes when you're too familiar with the pasuk, you don't spend enough time thinking about what the pasuk actually means. And just to try and understand what the pasuk is teaching us. So looks like in Parshas Kedoshim, Parak Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches. The Torah says, Lo Sikom Velo Sitor Es Bnei Amecha. You should not take revenge or bear a grudge against somebody from your nation. V'yavtal Re'acha Kamocha. You should love your neighbor like yourself. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Okay, seems like a very straightforward pasuk. You shouldn't take revenge. So if you want to borrow something for somebody, they refuse to lend it to you. So you shouldn't, and then afterwards they need the same thing from you. So you should not say, I think Rashi says here, I refuse to lend it to you because you didn't lend it to me, so that's taking revenge. Okay, very straightforward, you can't take revenge. Ezohi Natira, what does it mean to bear a grudge? Amarlahu Shalini as Kardumcha, you ask to borrow somebody's hammer, somebody's kardum, that's some sort of shovel. Amarlahu Lav, the person refused the machar, now he needs it the next day. Amarlahu Shalini Magelcha, Amarlahu Helecha, I'll give it to you. Ve'eni Kamoscha Shalohi Shaltani, because I'm not like you who refuses to lend things to people. So you're willing to, you're not doing anything negative to the person directly, but you certainly are bearing the grudge in the fact that you remind the person of what he did to you. So that's the beginning of the pasuk Sim Shefar. V'yahavta l'recha kamocha, we're all very familiar with. And then the end of the pasuk, Ani Hashem. The pasuk concludes that I am Hashem, which again we're all very familiar with. So I want to try to understand a whole lot of different things in this one pasuk. First question is, what's the connection between the first half of the pasuk and the second half of the pasuk? Certainly the fact that there is a requirement, there's a lav, you're not allowed to take revenge, you're not allowed to bear a grudge. So those two things certainly have to do with each other. What does that have to do with V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha? How do those two things connect? And then what do any of those things have to do with Ani Hashem? Ani Hashem could be the end of any pasuk when it comes to any mitzvah. But that's not usually the case. So why specifically here does the pasuk conclude with Ani Hashem? Those are two issues in terms of trying to understand the structure of the pasuk. What does the beginning have to do with the middle, and what does both the beginning and the middle have to do with the end of the pasuk? The next question is, what does it mean, V'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha? We say in Kriya Shema, V'yahavta es Hashem elokecha, that you should love Hashem, but we use the word es. We don't say le. So is there any significance to the fact that the Torah here says v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, you should love to your friend, as opposed to just loving your friend? So why l'reicha and not v'yahavta es reicha kamocha? Then the most fundamental question is, what does kamocha mean? So kamocha literally means like yourself. So does it really mean like yourself? Is it really possible to love somebody like you love yourself? Is it really such a positive thing to be loving yourself in the first place? So what exactly does kamocha mean? And then Rashi quotes, I'm sure we're very familiar with it, what Rabbi Akiva said about v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ze klal gadol ba'Torah. This is a fundamental tenet of the Torah. So what about v'yahavta l'recha kamocha makes it into such a klal gadol b'Torah that Rabbi Akiva had to mention this, and that Rashi felt that it was so important to mention it as well. So these are some of the questions that one try and understand this morning. So let's perhaps start with what does the word kamocha mean? So the Ramban, in his commentary right here on the pasuk, says v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. Hapslaga, it's an exaggeration. It can't be true. There's no such thing as somebody loving another person the same way he loves himself. It's not possible that somebody should love another person like he loves himself. The ode, he says, it's also impossible because of a halacha. Shekfar bar Rebbe Akiva v'limed chayecha kod min chayei chaveiracha. If two people are walking along in the desert and there's only enough water for one of them to drink, so the halacha is then Rabbi Akiva, who's v'haplarecha kamocha zekla gadol bator, the same Rabbi Akiva, he says that the halacha is that if you have the water and there's only enough water for one person to drink and to survive, chayecha kodmin l'chayecha v'erecha, your life precedes the life of your friend, and you're required to drink the water, and you're not allowed to offer it to your friend. So it's not even true. If you love the other person like yourself, so what gives you any more right to live or to take the water for yourself than to give it to your friend? So that's why the Ramban says that Torah is using an expression, Torah is using an exaggeration, trying to get a point across. So what does kamocha mean? So the Ramban explains that kamocha means in the same areas that you love yourself, you should love your friend as well. Mitzvot haTorah sheyahov chaveru b'chol inyan kashayahav yehahev esnafsho b'chol atov. The same way that you in different realms and different aspects of our lives, you want things to be good for yourself. So in those same realms where you want things to be good for yourself, you should want things to be good for your friend as well. However, it's not the case. V'lo sheyish ve'elav. Aval yechav eitz b'libo l'olam shehu yoser mimenu b'chol tova. In terms of the depth of that love, in terms of the amount of the quality of that love that you have for the other person, that does not have to be the same as it is for yourself. So in any area where you want things to be good for yourself, so the Torah is telling you here, kamocha, in those very same areas that you're concerned with your life being good, you should make sure and you should really feel that things should be good for your friend as well. In terms of how good it should be, there's no problem, there's no requirements in the Torah to not want things to be better for yourself than for your friend. You're allowed to hope that things are better for yourself than they are for your friend. But in terms of things being positive and being good for somebody else in those same areas, that's what the Torah is requiring. That's what it means, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Not literally kamocha in terms of the quality of the love, but kamocha in the areas. In the same areas where you want things to be good for yourself, you should also want things to be good for your friend. And that's how the Ramban understands the word kamocha. There are others who explain that kamocha in other places in the Torah means, for example, it says ki kamocha kifaro, you are like Paro. What does it mean that you're like Paro? So that means that you're the position that you're in is that you are in a position of authority the same way Paro is in a position of authority. There's a certain similarity. And that's what it means here as well, others suggest. That v'ahavta l'recha kamocha means that you should love somebody else because kamocha, because he's similar to you. How's he similar to you? Because we were all created by Hashem. And perhaps, we'll get more in detail later, but perhaps that's even why the pasuk concludes with ani Hashem. That there is a certain commonality, that we were all created v'tzelem Elokim, we were all created in the image of God. And that's the reason why you should love your friend. But the Torah is not telling you here the way that you should love your friend. It's not referring to the quality of that love. It's referring to a basic reason why you should love your friend. That since we're all on the same plane, we were all created, we're all Nevraim, we're all creations of Hashem. Hashem created us all. So because your friend is in that same situation, so you should love your friend because he's like you. But again, how that manifests itself is not the topic in this pasuk. This pasuk does not teach us how we should go about loving another person. It simply just tells you the reason that you should have a love for another person is because we're all in the same boat. We were all created. We're all creations. We're all creations of Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov offers a third explanation as to what the word kamocha means. Again, v'ahav t'lerecha kamocha, what does kamocha mean? And he says that kamocha means that you should love somebody like yourself. How like yourself? The same way he says that when you look at yourself, you manage to overlook the faults that you may have. You're willing to look at the positive and you're willing to ignore the negative. So you should have the same attitude when you're looking at your friend. The same way, the same way when it comes to yourself, you're willing to overlook some of the faults that you may have. So too, when you're looking at your friend, you should be able to, or you should, the Torah is asking us and telling us to look over the negative and to accentuate and focus in on the positive. And the Mesilas Yesharim in a similar way also says that the same way that you love yourself unequivocally, whatever you may do wrong, whenever you may make a mistake, the love that you have for yourself doesn't slip at all. You don't love yourself any less. So too when it comes to your friend, without looking at what they're doing, without looking at the situations in which they find themselves, unequivocally we're supposed to have a love for somebody else without looking for excuses, without looking for reasons to get out of it. And then the final approach is in disagreement with the Ramban is that kamocha is literal. It's kamocha mamish, exactly like you love yourself. There's a famous story of Rabbi Aryeh Levine that he once took his wife to the doctor and he said, "My wife's leg is hurting us." Rabbi Levine wasn't playing games, you know. We can maybe say that, but for him to say it, it was a feeling that he really had. The relationship that with his wife that he was able to, that they were able to create, was one in that her pain was literally felt by him. And in fact, the Yerushalmi says that might be what our pasuk means as well. And this gets a little bit into the question of what the connection is between lo sikom v'lo sitor, between not taking revenge and not bearing a grudge, and v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. The Yerushalmi says that why is it that you shouldn't take revenge on somebody else? K'siv lo sikom v'lo sitor es b'nei amecha. It says in the pasuk you shouldn't take revenge against another person. Heicha vida. The Yerushalmi gives an example of what a case may be. Have a mekateya kupor machas akine liyadei tapsar matamche liyadei. If a person is chopping meat with his hand and he accidentally cuts his finger, even chops off his finger, is the other hand going to turn around and chop off a finger on the hand that caused the damage? Obviously not. You're one person. If you do something, part of your body does something to hurt another part of your body, you're not going to go back and take revenge against another part of your body. And v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is the same thing. And that the reason that when it comes to Klal Yisrael, that when it comes to the Jewish people, we're not allowed to take revenge, is because that's exactly how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, that we're all the same. And if we're all one large klal, if we're all one big body, then taking revenge on somebody else is no different than one hand hurting the other hand. You know, you're using a hammer and the hammer misses the nail, hits the thumb, you don't go back and hurt the other hand. So too, Klal Yisrael is one unit. And going back and taking revenge on another person is no different than one part of the body taking revenge on another part of the body. And that's why it's the reason for losikom losikor is v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. The reason is because of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Because we're supposed to reach that level, because we're supposed to strive and we're supposed to try and reach a level where we're all on the same plane, where we can feel like we're one large body. That's the reason for losikom losikor es b'nei amecha. And perhaps that's even the highest level of what kamocha could mean. In terms of the end of the pasuk, what does it mean to conclude with Ani Hashem? So according to this explanation, it's only because Ani Hashem, it's only because we're all coming from Hashem, it's only because Hashem gives us this mandate that it's possible to have such a perspective of Kamocha Mamish, to be able to view all of Klal Yisrael as one person. It doesn't makes sense outside of the fact that Hashem created us in such a way that Klal Yisrael has this power. The same way when we came out of Mitzrayim and we were by Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, it says, Ki Ish Echad B'Leiv Echad. The Torah writes it in a singular language because we were like one person, we were like one individual. There are those that suggest that that's what we mean in Dayenu when it says, Ido Kervanu Lifnei Har Sinai, V'lo Nasan L'Nasa Torah Dayenu. What was so good about ending up in front of Har Sinai if we didn't ultimately get the Torah? And there are those that explain that no, the fact that Klal Yisrael could reach the point where it was Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, that they were all like one, that already is reason to celebrate. Even if it didn't ultimately lead to the Nesinas HaTorah, to the giving of the Torah that followed, just the fact that we reached the point where Klal Yisrael could be one united group, that already would be Dayenu, that would be enough of a reason already to thank Hashem. So certainly, with this approach, we can understand the entire context of the pasuk. It's lo sikom lo sitor es b'nei amecha. You can't take revenge. Why? Because we're all the same. We're all one unit. And it's like taking one part of the body taking revenge on another. How is it possible to have such a thing where we're all like one unit? That's because ani Hashem. Because Hashem created us as such. Hashem created Am Yisrael in such a way that we are one unit and can reach this level. Alternatively, there are those who suggest that Ani Hashem is supposed to reflect the fact that all mitzvot that are given from Hashem. That we generally have a breakup, different categories when we refer to mitzvot. There are mitzvot that are bein adam lechavero, interpersonal mitzvot, and there are mitzvot that are bein adam lemakom, between us and Hashem. And the fact that the mitzvot that are between us and Hashem have a religious value to it, so that's very obvious to us, that's very clear. But when the pasuk here specifically says ani Hashem, it's to realize that no, there's a religious significance to mitzvot bein adam lechavero as well. Don't think the interpersonal mitzvot are just about being polite to people, just about being friendly to people. That's certainly part of it, but that's not the entire picture. Part of the picture also is that Ani Hashem, is that Hashem is the one who commanded. And that's why you can have a situation where there are people who, even though etiquette might dictate being nice to every single person, but Chazal tell us that there are certain Rishon, that it's a mitzvah to hate the person. Because again, once it comes from the perspective of Ani Hashem, there's a religious significance to it, then Hashem can say that in certain situations, the mitzvah is not to love the other person, but in fact the mitzvah is to hate the other person. And that the Chaz Nishi is to point out that in fact this, the way we split mitzvahs between Bein Adam L'Chaveir and Bein Adam L'Makom, it's more of a conventional, easy way of us being able to categorize the mitzvahs. But fundamentally, all the mitzvahs are Bein Adam L'Makom because they all relate to our relationship with Hashem, and He was the one who gave us all of the mitzvos. Rav Shlomo Shvadron used to add to that, that that's why even when it comes to asking a shayla, asking a rav a question, so it's often when it comes to mitzvos that are bein adam lemakom, so we're very quick to ask those questions because we feel that the religious significance, and we understand that a rav is the person that we turn to when we have a question of a mitzvah which relates to our relationship with Hashem. But he says the same thing is true when it comes to mitzvot bein adam lechavero as well. When it comes to interpersonal relationships, when it comes to questions of how to deal with people, those are also questions that the Torah refers to. And as such, the same way when it comes to whether the spoon, the chleishik spoon that ended up in the milchik pot, whatever else happened to it, the same way those questions go to the Rav, so too the questions should be asked when it comes to mitzvot bein adam lechavero. Lechaveru as well. And that's also the significance of the Torah concluding the pasuk with Ani Hashem. We noted earlier that it was interesting that the dealing with these issues separately might create a little bit of confusion as we're developing it, but hopefully in the end we'll be able to bring it all back together. But I think in highlighting the individual issues, hopefully that will help us better understand how the major approaches to the mitzvah itself of Yahab Zarecha Kamocha, which will hopefully emerge at the end, where they came from and how it was influenced just by the context of the Pasuk and the way the Pesukim were written. So So one of the issues that we raised earlier was the fact that it says v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha, and it doesn't say v'yahavta es reyacha, the same way v'yahavta es Hashem elokecha. Why doesn't it say v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha? And Rav Hirsch explains that es would mean to love the personality of the other person. It would be a much more fundamental relationship. The same way v'yahavta es Hashem elokecha is a full love of Hashem and all the aspects of Hashem. So if it was v'yahavta es reyecha, that would require a love of the person, not just the way we act with the person, but the person's entire personality. And that type of harmony that's required to have such a love for another person, it's impossible for the Torah to expect that and to command us to have that type of relationship with every single person. And that's why it says v'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha, and not v'yahavta es reyecha. The pasuk is telling us to love the person in terms of the circumstances that pertain to his personality, the external things, the way we interact with the person, the way we relate to the person, the way we hope that, the way that we can empathize with the person if a person is going through a difficult time, that we feel the other person's sorrow, and the opposite also when a person is going through a simcha, that we can actually feel the simcha of the other person. But to have that fundamental love for the person itself, for the person, him or herself, that's impossible. And that's why the Torah changes the language here of v'yahavta es Hashem elokecha, and here it says v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha, with the lamed as opposed to the es. And I think perhaps what Rav Hirsch is saying is really an elaboration on what the Ramban himself says. When the Ramban was explaining why it was that kamocha can't mean literally kamocha mamish, literally loving the person the same way that you love yourself. So one of the comments that the Ramban makes is based on the fact that it says v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha, as opposed to saying v'yahavta es reyacha. And the Ramban doesn't really elaborate as to why that is. He brings different examples of different places. But I think what Rav Hirsch is doing is fleshing out that point that the Ramban is making. That fundamentally there's a difference between a relationship which would be kamocha mamish, literally loving a person like you love yourself, which would be what would be implied by saying yes, versus the way that the Ramban understands what the mitzvah actually is, which is v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha.
What if the person's a nasty person?
So there, the...
What do they need to?
Right, so there the Torah has guidelines when a person is a wicked person,
uh-huh.
And a person purposely is doing different types of errors. Again, the details of it are a little bit complicated, but beyond our purview. But there are cases where there would actually be a mitzvah to hate the person. If the person is just being nasty to you, then you have to, you know, be able to weigh the issues, because
yeah.
The losikam lositor on the one hand tells you that you're not allowed to harbor that grudge against the person, but in certain circumstances it would be appropriate to hate the person. So that's what I was hinting to earlier,
okay.
Where that the Ani Hashem implies these are questions that the same way we ask other questions, because we don't know what the halacha is. These are also areas where we have to ask questions in order to understand what exactly the halacha expects of us. There's one other explanation that I just wanted to share with you in terms of the connection between lo sikum velo sitor, the prohibition against taking revenge, and v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha that I saw. Because again, you would think that they're you know, almost polar opposites. Lo sikum velo sitor is actively, you know, maliciously taking revenge against the person. And v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha is this expansive love for the other person, and they don't seem to belong together. It's one thing, you know, to not like somebody, but to get to the point of taking revenge requires a malicious intent against the other person. So what exactly is the connection between the two? There's one explanation actually based on a story that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman came to the United States in the 1930s to collect money for his students who were in Kovna, and he wasn't having so much luck collecting the money. And one of his students decided to accompany him and to try to help him, to bring him to the right people, to help him gather the necessary funds and to have the money so that he can return with the money to provide for the yeshiva. And the student found out that there was a certain wealthy philanthropist, and he was able to arrange a meeting with him, and together with Rabbi Chanan, he went to meet with this person. And unfortunately, the meeting did not go as they had hoped, and they were shown the door without being given any money to the yeshiva. And the student was very, very upset, and he left the house, and he was very, very upset. He sat down on the steps and fuming. How could it be that this person didn't give us any, how could it be that this person didn't give any money? And Rabbi Chanan said to him, why are you so upset? What's wrong? Why am I upset? Why shouldn't I be upset? The yeshiva needs money. This person has the money. He's not helping us out. He should be helping us out. He didn't give us anything. So Rabbi Chanan answered that the Torah tells us that Moshe was told that Bezalel should be the one who builds the Mishkan. So he said, imagine that Moshe is trying to find, okay, who's this Bezalel? Hashem said to find Bezalel and to tell Bezalel and to that he's the one who's going to build the Mishkan. So he said, imagine, so he asks around, you know, who's Bezalel? He says, oh, Bezalel, he's sitting and learning in the Beit Medrash. Okay, great, I'll go to the Beit Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and I'll find Bezalel in the Beit Medrash, and I'll tell him that, you know, his job is to build the Mishkan. So he says, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu enters the Beit Medrash, and he says to somebody sitting and learning, are you Bezalel? He says, no, I'm not Bezalel. Should Moshe Rabbeinu be upset? No, right? He's trying to find him, but it's not this person's fault that he's not Bezalel. And he goes to another person also, and he asks the other person, are you Bezalel? No, I'm not Bezalel either. Is there any reason for Moshe to be upset by not being able to find Bezalel? Obviously not. So he said that the same thing is true when it comes to, you know, people who are supposed to be the ones to help. Hashem has his people who are sent with a mission that they're going to be the ones who are going to help us. There's no reason to be upset at this person if he wasn't the one chosen to be the one to help us. And he says this perspective is the perspective perhaps of Lo Sikom, Lo Sitor as well, not taking revenge. If you go to somebody and ask somebody to borrow something and the person doesn't have it, you're not going to be upset. What are you going to do? The person doesn't have it. So he says the same thing is true if the person has it and doesn't want to give it, if the person has it doesn't want to give it to you. So they weren't the ones who were supposed to give it to you. They weren't the ones who were supposed to help you out. And perhaps that's why If you understand that the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, if you understand that the same way if it was you asking and the person didn't have it, you wouldn't be upset, because who are you gonna be upset? You're gonna be upset at yourself. You're not gonna be upset at yourself. You were trying, you're doing your hishpadlos, you're trying your best, you're putting in an effort to find whatever you need. So there's no reason for you to be upset at yourself or at anybody else if they don't have it. So the same thing is true if the person has it and doesn't want to give it. They weren't the ones who were supposed to be giving it to.
They were not the shliach.
They were not the shliach, right? They were not the ones who were sent. There's no reason to be upset. There's no reason to be upset at that. So that seems to be, in terms of the basic structure of the pasuk, what the pasuk seems to be telling us. Again, lo sikom v'lo sitor, es b'nei amecha v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, and then ani Hashem. There's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos, Andaf, Lamed Aleph, tells us a pretty well-known story about Hillel. The Gemara says that there was a non-Jew who came to Shammai, and he said to Shammai, Shuv Maisa Benochri Echad Shabbos Neisham, he came to Shammai, Omer Lo, Jirani Amenash Sheshetelamdini Kol Torah Kula Kasheni Omeid Al Regal Achas. I want you to convert me. I want you to be Megayer me, on condition that you will teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Shammai got annoyed. It says he was holding some sort of measuring stick that they use to measure buildings, a yardstick, something like that, and he pushed him away and told him to get lost. And he came in front of Hillel and he said the same thing. Convert me on condition that you can teach me Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Gaire. And Hillel was Megayer him. Omar lo. And Hillel said to him, the Aloch Sani, the Chavrecha lo Savit. That which you don't want to happen to you, don't that which is hateful to you, right? Don't do to somebody else. Zohi kol haTorah kula. This is the entirety of the Torah. V'idach perushahu zilgamor. Everything else is just an explanation of this. Go out and learn it. A fascinating Gemara. And first of all, what was the guy thinking? What did the guy, you know, want for him? And, you know, was this what was Hillel able to find a way to, you know, obviate the need to teach the entire Torah Kula B'Regel Achas? So maybe that was actually what the guy was interested in. What's going on here? So Rashi says, Da'alach tzani l'charvecha lo savid re'acha v'rei avicha atazov zakarosh baruchu. That when Hillel told the goy not to do something which is hateful to you, to your friend, it means to Hashem. It means you shouldn't be doing averos. And in that case, in fact, was a very, very broad statement. The difficulty is that doesn't seem to be the simplest chat in the Gemara. What was bothering Rashi that forced Rashi to say that? Probably, how can you say that this line is, you know, everything, kol haTorah kula, everything else is just a perish, everything else is just an explanation, just, it seems to be that it's not true. And furthermore, if the simple pshat of the Gemara is true, which is that, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, is what he's telling, he's saying, love your friend like you love yourself, so then why didn't he say that? There's a pasuk in the Chumash. Why didn't Hillel simply say to the guy, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, that's kol haTorah kula, everything else is just a perish? Why did he have to say it in this Aramaic phrase? And also he put it in the negative. The Torah puts it in a very positive light. You should go out and you should actively love your friend. And here the Torah, and Hillel put it in the exact opposite. Oh, whatever is negative to you, you shouldn't do onto somebody else. So we certainly would assume that Hillel means more than, you know, the common sense that, you know, don't do anything hateful onto somebody else because one day they might return the favor. It firmly seems from the context of the Gemara that it's telling us something much more fundamental. So what was Hillel telling us? And how does that relate to our general issue of trying to understand what does it mean, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha? So the Maharsha already says that the guy wasn't interested in learning the entire Torah when he was standing al regal achas. He says it's not literally one leg, but one yisod. That there's one foundation. He wanted to know that what's the one foundation, the one idea that I need to keep in mind, and that will be the basis for the entire Torah. That will be the basis for me to be able to learn everything else. So in terms of just understanding at least how Hillel related him, so that makes it a lot easier to understand what Hillel answered him. But the question is, so what was Hillel answering him? So it certainly seems that it's going to be related to what Rabbi Akiva said, about which Rashi quoted on Chumash, which is that v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha zekha gadol haTorah, that this is a major klal, a major rule, a major tenet of the Torah, and Hillel seems to be saying that as well. So what exactly was Hillel saying? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman suggests that the Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that before a person acts, a person should always keep in mind that there are two scales. And a person should have the perspective that the scales are even. And the next thing that I'm going to do can tip my scale either to the side of the mitzvos or chas v'shalom to the side of the averos. And the Gemara says not only should one keep in mind that he himself is on a scale which is perfectly even, and the next thing that it does is going to determine which way the scale goes, but a person should think the entire world is even between mitzvot and averus, and whatever I do next, that's going to determine the fate of the world. That's the perspective that a person should have. And he says that that's what Hillel was saying. Hillel was saying that which is hateful to your friend, you shouldn't be doing. He's saying that refers to the entirety of mitzvot, because whatever you do influences other people. It can influence other people because it's a mitzvah, bein adam l'chaveru, it's interpersonal mitzvah, and in that sense, the mitzvah itself, the action you do directly, is going to affect the other person. But more fundamentally, whatever you do, even if it's a mitzvah, bein adam l'makom, it's just a mitzvah between us and Hashem, that mitzvah also can affect the entire world. Whatever we do next, that can tip the scales and that can affect the amount of Kedusha and the Bracha and everything which is coming down from Hashem. All of that can come based on the action that a person does. And that's what Hillel was saying, that Madesani Lechavrcha, anything which is Madesani Lach, whatever is hateful is to you, whatever you wouldn't want to happen, obviously you don't want your personal scale to be tipping in the direction of the Averos. So don't do it to anybody else. How are you going to be doing it to anybody else? Because whatever action you do in whatever realm it might be, that is going to affect the entire world. That's Kol HaTorah Kula. And that's the perspective that one should have in order to understand the entirety of Torah. V'idach Perushai. Everything else is just a perush. Everything else is to know what to do. How do I know? How do I make that determination of whether I should do the action that I'm trying to decide whether to do, or whether I shouldn't do it? For that, it's Idach Zil Gemara. Go out and learn. You have to know what the halacha is. You have to know what the Torah says about it. And then you can go out and you can do whatever it is. The Kli Yakar, an Arab pasuk, raises an interesting point. He says that not only did Hillel change the words of the pasuk of Yerhapsa Recha Kamocha, but Hillel seems to be ignoring another Gemara. The Gemara asks in Makos, what one pasuk can summarize the Kol HaTorah Kula? And the Gemara says, Bachamik Chabakuk v'hamidan alachas. Chabakuk, the Navi, came along and he was able to, he had one pasuk which incorporated Kol HaTorah Kula. So if Hillel is looking for one pasuk, again like the Maharsha explained, the Goy never wanted to learn the entirety of Torah while standing on foot, but the Goy wanted to have one yesod, one foundation, one principle upon which everything else is built. So why didn't he take what Chabakuk said? What did Chabakuk say? Tzadik be'emunaso yechya. Everything is totally, everything depends on emunah. Everything depends on our emunah b'Hashem. Why didn't Hillel say that? Why did Hillel say this v'yahavta l'recha kamocha type formulation of which seems to relate to the mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro? So what the Kli Yakar says, perhaps this is a little bit of my own spin on what the Kli Yakar says, Be'emunaso yechya. Tzadik lives with his emunah. And that's what the Gemara says, that Chabakuk is telling us that's, if you need one principle to as a guiding light in life, that's what it is. Bachabakuk be'emidan alachas. You have that, you have everything. So why didn't Hillel say that? So perhaps the answer is that when the non-Jew is coming, he's looking to convert, he's coming to Hillel and he wants to know what the Jewish religion is about. Everybody understands, and everybody can understand, that religion has to do with the relationship between a person and God. That's what every religion is about. Every religion is about what we would call Bein Adam L'Makom. What the guy was asking, and the guy was trying to understand, is what's different? What's different about a Jewish lifestyle, about the way the Torah perceives a person's mission in life? And that's where Hillel said that there's more in the Torah than there is than just Bein Adam L'Makom, because the Torah also includes how to act with other people. The mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the interpersonal mitzvos, those are also part and parcel of what the Torah is. And if a person can appreciate that, then there will be no difficulty whatsoever in appreciating the fact that the mitzvos are Bein Adam L'Makom as well. That there are mitzvos that relate to us and Hashem, that clearly religious aspect of Yahadus, that will come across to everybody. But what Hillel was telling him was that there's something that unique that you need to know. If you're coming right now and you're coming to decide whether you want to take the step of converting to Judaism, you need to understand that this encompasses all aspects of life. Even the interpersonal relationships, the way we interact with one another, that's part of the Torah as well. And that's perhaps why Hillel used this approach as opposed to Tzadik be'emunaso yechya. Tzadik be'emunaso yechya. Did we get to all of our questions? Trying to think. So what does Rabbi Akiva mean, perhaps that we have left before we try to just put everything back together and try to understand what we've seen? What does Rabbi Akiva mean when he says that Kva Gadol Batara? So I think now we have a few more options in terms of understanding that there's more. It's not just V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. So on the simplest level, V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha includes many other mitzvot, because there are a lot of mitzvot in the Torah that tell us how to act in our interpersonal relationships. The mitzvot between Adam L'Chavera, and V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha is kind of a cap under which a lot of these other mitzvot could be subsumed. So in that sense, if one understands V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, so he does have a Klal Gadol B'Torah. But it seems that Rabbi Akiva is telling us something much more fundamental than that. And in fact, the Medrash itself quotes another opinion. It says, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, Ben Azai Omer, Zeh Sefer told us, Adam, this is the Chassidic and back in Bereishis, that this is the story of the creation of man. Zeh Klal Gadol Mizeh, that's a bigger Klal. That's a bigger rule than what Rabbi Akiva says that Klal Gadol B'Torah. So again, what exactly their disagreement is about, I'm not going to get into too much right now. But certainly the fact that Rabbi Akiva was trying to say something more than just merely the fact that if you need to count the mitzvot, there are a lot of mitzvot which relate to how we act between one another. So those can all fit under V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. So in that sense, V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha can be viewed as a broad klal. Seems like he's saying something much more fundamental than that. So perhaps a few approaches which emerged based on what we've seen is that one aspect of V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha is the realization that the mitzvot for Bein Adam L'Chavero are Kamocha in the sense that we were all the same, that we're all created B'Tzelem Elokim. And that actually bridges the gap between Ben Azai in this Medrash and Rabbi Akiva a lot. Because Ben Azai is commenting that the Pasuk, right after the creation of Adam and the story of how man was created, that's the Klal Gadol. So we understand then that the difference between them becomes very slight. If we understand that Rabbi Akiva is telling us is that V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, the reason that it's true is because we're all the same. Not the Kamocha isn't telling us how to love another person, but why we should love another person. We should love another person because we're all the same. We're all created B'Tzelem Elokim. We're all created in the image of God. So then we understand Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah. That outlook, that certainly is a fundamental approach to understanding the Torah. And the other possibility in terms of understanding how it could be such a major rule, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, was the idea which came across in a few of the explanations, but perhaps the Chazon Ish highlighted it the most, which is that V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, that there's a common ground in all mitzvot of Ani Hashem, of the fact that the same way that V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha refers to the mitzvot Bein Adam L'Chavero, the end of the pasuk says V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha Ani Hashem, and that's part of the Klal Gadol. It's not just the Klal Gadol V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha as we commonly refer to it. It's V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha Ani Hashem. If that's the Klal Gadol, that includes everything. If one understands that it's because Ani Hashem that we act Bein Adam L'Chavero, then the fact that Bein Adam L'Makom, the fact that we have mitzvot that relate to our relationship between us and Hashem as well, that's obvious, that's easy. But once one views V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha and such alike, so then one really does have a Klal Gadol. One really does have a working rule in which they can understand so much of the Torah. So just to summarize in terms of the basic approaches that I think we were able to develop in terms of what V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha means, without getting into all the details of how they got there as we explained earlier, but it seems that there are three and a half basic approaches to understanding what the Torah means when it says V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. So the Ramban said not to take it literally. It can't mean V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, that you should literally love another person the same way you love yourself. Rather, it refers to the same areas in which you want things to be good for you. You should want things to be good for your friends. How good they should be for your friends, they don't have to be as good as they are for you. You can hope that things are going to be better for you. There's nothing wrong with that. The Torah never said that you have to hope that everything is going to be equally good for your friend as it is for you. But in terms of the areas which are important to you, then you should hope that things are on the up and up for your friend, for your friend as well. There can be that distance, but only in terms of the depth of the love, not in terms of the areas in which the love covers. And as a subset of that, perhaps, is this explanation that we saw, that kamocha, that the reason for it is because we're all b'tzelem elokim. The reason why we should love another person is because we're all on the same level. So that's the first basic approach, which is that kamocha shouldn't be taken literally, but it's the same areas in which I love, I want things to be good for myself, I should want things to be good for somebody else as well. The second basic approach was that which we built based on the Baal Shem Tov and based on the Mesfilas Yesharon, which is that kamocha, it means to love your friend like you love yourself, but that's not referring to the quality of the love. That's referring to an outlook. The same way when it comes to yourself, you love yourself regardless of what you've done wrong, regardless of the mistakes that you make, and regardless of the faults that you have, and you're willing to overlook the negative and you accentuate the positive, so too that should be the outlook when it comes to another person. When we're looking at other people, we shouldn't try, sometimes the negative on other people somehow flies in our face. It's very clear to us. The Torah is telling you, v'ahavta l'reach kamocha, the same way you can overlook your own faults, you should overlook the faults of your friend as well. And then the highest level was that we saw in the Yerushalmi, and that the Rav Aryeh Levine story illustrated, which is that no, maybe it really is possible that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem created the world was that Klal Yisrael is unique because Klal Yisrael can form one body. And if you can really get to the point where you feel that we're one body, so then the Hatzorecha Kamocha follows the same way. Something hurts you, then it hurts your friend. Something hurts your friend, it hurts you. Because we become guf echad. We become literally like one body. And even though these three approaches came from different sources, Elu ve'elu divre elokim chayim, the Torah has many approaches, and perhaps all of them are true on a certain level. And that maybe it has to do with levels in terms of, we can strive to move from the basic level where we love people in the same areas, which already is a challenge, but there, given the Torah gives us the right to still hope things are better for us, and then move to the point where we hope that, where we can literally overlook the faults of another person, and then finally reaching the point of kamocha mamish. It just, as a cap to all this, it still seems a little bit difficult. And this is a general question which relates to, which I can elaborate on another time, I might have even mentioned it in the past as well, which is, how can it be that the Torah requires us to have certain emotions towards another person? The way Hillel says it, don't do unto your friend what you don't want done to you. So that, okay, the Torah can certainly legislate how we're supposed to act. But how can the Torah legislate how we're supposed to feel? A sense of ahava. That's something which is inside us. That's something which is unique to every person. How can the Torah require this love? So there's a Ibn Ezra that comments on Los Sachmod and says you're not allowed to be jealous, you shouldn't covet that which your friend has. So Ibn Ezra says, so he asks the same question, how can it be that Torah tells you not to have it? It's a natural, it's almost an instinct. How can it be that I shouldn't be jealous of what somebody else has? It's just a natural reaction. And I think he gives a mashal. He says, if you have a lowly farmer, so the farmer has no aspirations of ever marrying the princess. So if somebody else, marries a princess, he doesn't end up, there's no jealousy. It's not within the realm of his possibility. It's beyond anything that he would ever imagine. It's only when something is closer to you that you feel that you in some way deserve it, that one begins to feel a sense of jealousy. But he says that if one internalizes the proper hashgafa, so then anything which happens to his friend is destined, really Hashem wants it. Hashem wants it to be theirs. Hashem doesn't want it to be yours. If one has understanding that whatever I need, Hashem is giving to me, whatever somebody else is, I shouldn't have, I don't need, I can't have, and that's the way Hashem designed the world, then there's no reason. The same way the farmer has no aspirations of ever marrying the princess, I have no aspirations of ever getting anything from that belongs to my friend, because Hashem sends me whatever I need, and Hashem sends somebody else whatever they need. So the way that the Torah can legislate is because the Torah tells us the outlook that we're supposed to have. It's our job to internalize that outlook and to reach the point where then our instincts, as we see them, are going to change. Where our instinctual reaction when we see somebody having something that we want is going to, that's great, you have it. It has nothing to do with me. I have no chance of getting it. And in that sense, the Torah certainly can legislate because it's in terms of trying to teach us how to approach life. And I think the same thing is true here as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, just to conclude, in Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin, when he talks about Lo Sikom Lo Sitor, he says, Anokem Mechavero Over Belo Sase. A person who takes revenge against his friends violates the negative of mitzvah. Shnemar Lo Sikom, Vapa Vishayin Lokalav Deya Rahi Ad Me'ovet. Even though there's no malchus, there's no lashes for technical reasons, Deya Rahi Ad Me'ovet. It's a terrible, terrible mida, attribute that a person could have. Rather, what should a person do? I feel it. So what should I do? If a person should let things pass, because anybody who really understands realizes that divrei hevel v'havoi ve'inon kedali linkom aleihem. It's meaningless. What's it going to do? What's it going to help everybody? Who cares what really happens? And that's the attitude which the Rambam is telling us, which can help foster these feelings of perhaps reaching the level of kamocha mamash, which is realizing that the way somebody acts to me, okay, so maybe they did it on purpose, maybe they didn't do it on purpose. What's it going to help? What's it going to matter if the person, if I'm feeling these negative feelings inside me? If a person realizes that that's not what's important in life, we have much loftier things to strive for, then hopefully all of these feelings will engender the sense of ahava, and we can reach the point of actually being kamocha mamash.